This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, Basement, Robert, Otto, Hounds, we are good to go.
Yep, we got the Lumberjacks, Chrissy, Matt and Hank on the back row, all the people in the bunkers.
Bunch of smart people up in Bristol.
Yeah, we are, getting it done. So how you doing on a Wednesday?
I'm good.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, you got that look. Oh, no.
I am good.
Oh, no.
My boys pulled one out last night from the fire.
Oh, the Giants still lead one game in the West, right?
It's 11 to go, and I don't know if we can hold on. Those other boys, they just never lose.
Albert Pujols, a big hit last night.
He's 90 years old. Can't stand it. All right, I mentioned that we've been dabbling here in the studio.
You started last week by saying, I'm working on something. And here's the thing, folks. Whenever Mark Packer says, I'm working on something, get worried.
Yeah. Well, because don't get worried. It's going to be.
No, you're brilliant. Your mind
is. You say that, but I like to mess around with stuff.
You do. And every once in a while, you come up with an idea. And look, in this chair right here, we just got to let that go over there. Okay. And trust that he has the best interest of Packer and Durham at heart.
If you want to stay in the middle of the road, go ahead. Snore City. We're gonna bang in some ditches every now and then. We're gonna go off script every now and then.
All right. So what have you done?
I've been messing around with something.
Okay.
It's still not a finished product. Let me emphasize, this is still not a finished product. But you know, I like to mess around down here in the basement because I spend 18 hours
a
day
down
here.
Yeah, me and
the dogs.
Now, a lot of people on the road are concerned about you.
Well, I never get on the road, so this is where I get to hang down here in the basement. But I must admit, the basement's pretty cool. I mean, ESPN has spent, I don't know, $2, $3, $4 million down here rewiring the house and everything else.
Way to jack it up on the price.
Well, I mean, if I put the house on the market today, believe me, it's going to be for at least $3 or $4 million more than it was going to be.
The Packers have lived here a few years, and this is where Mr. Packer spends 20 hours a day. Look at this, and you get none of this because it's all got to go back. Anyway. All right.
So I've been messing around with an idea.
Why don't you tell the original portion of this, too, when they put it in? You knew that this was possible.
Well, yeah, all right. I'll give you the total backstory before we give you. And again, this is still a work in progress, all right? So
well,
don't judge
really
me.
You really don't want to sell this up too much in case it doesn't go well, do you?
Well, it's going to go well. I have no doubt that we will end up turning this into
until you hit the wrong button.
To the disco hut. So when ESPN had this crazy idea for us to do this on television, they said, we'd like to come and see where you do your radio show. And I said, yeah, I'm not sure you really want to see where we do the radio show.
Well, they brought the suits in here. We had suits come by.
Seven people. I mean, ESPN brought in all kinds of folks.
That's right.
And before it turned into this.
We've never seen any of those people since either, have we?
No, they've left.
They've gone.
They may be gone. They may not even be with the company anymore after
this.
They
may have just said, well, we did that. We're out of here.
We can't top that.
Right.
So they came in here, and I told them, I said, well, you know, it's not a really big place. I got this giant air conditioning duct over here, and I got a couch, and I got all my
got
junk.
Got a wine room?
Well, no, forget that. I'm just talking about this room.
I'm not forgetting the wine
and
room.
And so, you know, I had a big old couch that I've had for 100 years. And
that was a nice couch. Where'd that go?
That was written off as a tax problem there. So nevertheless, so they walked in here, and I thought for sure they were going to go, oh, my God, there's no way we could do a show in here.
And then what'd they say?
They walked in and went, oh, you've got a ton of room. And I was floored. All right. I was like, I couldn't believe what they were saying. Because I was watching their body language as soon as they walked through the doors. And I knew they were going to open the door and go, oh, my God, this
and you
is
know
a
what
dump.
You know what some folks at home are saying? Mark lives in Charlotte. Don't they have a studio in Charlotte? Yes. But never mind. Go ahead.
Well, that never crossed anybody's
mind.
No.
We're going to do this right here.
All right. So they walked in here, and they're like, and they're measuring top to bottom, left to right, right to left, angles.
Smart people.
I mean, really smart.
Brilliant. There you go. Look, there's the upper deck shot right there. People don't believe we have these light grids in here. There you go, light grids.
So long story made short, they came up with renderings and drawings, and when I saw them for the first time, I was blown away, like, holy mackerel, you can do that to this room? And so they did. Four cameras, 29 lights, the shelves. I mean, they repainted. They took out the air conditioning system that was in here, which was the size of half the room. I mean, it was incredible what the folks at ESPN did.
Right.
So one day, one of the experts is in here, right? And I come walking down the steps because it was like an hour before the radio show.
Right.
And they had just installed the shelves, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else in here other than my desk and the SiriusXM connection to do the radio show and the shelves. And so a guy's down here messing around with lights. Mm-hmm. And I went, wow, that's kind of cool. How do you do that? And so he was showing me how they messed around with lights. So they build this absolutely stunning studio, right, out of nothing. And so we've got basic lights in here. I mean, it's TV lights, mm-hmm. and it's white. And again, I'm not a lighting expert, as you can well imagine.
And don't play one on television.
And don't, but well, that may get ready to change here in a second. So long story made short, you all right over there? Is Fuller taking
your
spot?
The big man has just rolled all the way back into my feet.
Well,
and now my
Wes.
Legs are kind of trapped. Yeah,
buddy Wes.
Oh, there's
glad
buddy
to
Wes.
See you back.
All right, so go ahead.
So I went back, and it hit me a couple of weeks ago. You know, we got the new studio in terms of what we've changed since you now backed in the studio and
right.
got different stuff in here and all that. So I told you I was messing around with something. So here's what we can do now. And this might be a better shot on Wes as opposed to me. Because behind Wes, if I said, hey, let's talk about Duke, D-U-K-E. With a snap of the finger, just like that, guess what we can do? Mood lighting. Look at that right there. Look at that right there, Wes Durham. We go Duke on you, just like that. Look, it looks right on the background right here. It's like the disco hut.
It's also hitting off the bevel in the
yeah.
on the side.
If you said, hey, Pac, that's fine. If you talk about Duke, we got to talk about Carolina. Oh, you want to talk about Carolina? Snap of the finger. And just like that, look at that. Carolina blue everywhere you look. I got Carolina blue mood lighting, and now we have turned this into the disco hut. And if you're thinking, all right, Pac, what else can you? You pick a team. You pick a team in the league, I can send you there. Wake Forest is hot, right? The Swiss are hot?
Yeah.
How about we go like a little yellowy gold for you? We could even turn this into
Pitt.
Georgia Tech. Maybe a little BC, and
look,
just like that.
Look at the yellow.
Bam.
Look
there's the yellow. Now, I'm not done messing around with the lights because we got all kinds of ideas to mess around up and above just the mood lighting.
Is there a remote control somewhere about
oh,
this?
Oh, there will be a remote. All you got to do is snap your fingers. What color do you want? You want green? How about Miami?
Okay.
How about that? What? Notre Dame, you're not in the league for football, but you will be for hoops. Hey, I'm going to talk Mike Bray coming up next.
Jack Swarbrick.
Snap the
there
finger.
There you go, Jack, right there.
Bam. Look at that. Green lights.
That'll do it right there. That'll push it right into membership
like the
right
green.
There. Hey, yeah. What was the turning point? I can hear Swarbrick now. Mr. Swarbrick, what was the turning point? Did you see the lights ahead on that Packer and Durham show?
Now, for everybody on SiriusXM and our terrestrial folks, they're going, these idiots are talking lights. I can't see a thing.
I can't see a thing.
I mean, this is why I gotta jump on board ACC Network on TV. So we got mood lighting. So double snap the finger, we go right back to our traditional white, just like that. But that's what we got at our disposal now. Just saying. How about that?
What could possibly?
Nothing's going to go wrong.
What could possibly?
I'm not done.
Go wrong, America.
I'm not done, though. No. I told you, this is a work. It's like Dabo's.
What do you mean you're not done?
It's like Dabo's offensive line. It is a work in progress.
Oh, my gosh.
We're looking to add some additional lighting things.
Where?
But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Who's involved in this?
Not you.
No, I don't.
No, not
you know
you.
What?
You're not involved.
Here's the deal. This
You're
is
not
what
involved.
I like about this. I come in here, participate in the show. My day continues. I go and do some games. I come back, and all cupcakes are breaking loose. You know that? I mean, you had talked about this about 3 weeks ago.
They're working on it.
And I thought to myself, this is like Coach K's office when we did the show for SiriusXM.
Why don't you tell that story? Pac, you're out of your mind. I see you watch and
Pac
see what
comes
I'm
up.
Do.
We've started this radio show, and we get to the next, you know, we get to the next year. We had started kind of in March of 18, and we get to like February or early January of 19, right? And Pac goes, we ought to do the show from Mike Krzyzewski's office the day of the Duke-Carolina game. And I went, you're out of your mind. He said, no, we can do it. We can do it.
I can do this.
And I go, no, we can't. Mike Krzyzewski's not going to let you in his office the day of the Duke-Carolina game. And I'll be daggone if we didn't do the show from Mike Krzyzewski's office the day of the Duke Carolina game.
But how we pull it off was that.
That's another.
Is a segment.
When we celebrate our 20th anniversary of Packer and Durham on television, we'll tell that story.
That will be my book. Yeah. That will be a chapter.
Yeah, because that one, that's pretty good.
So don't, you know, I'm just telling you.
All right, so we got ideas. We got lights.
You like that, huh?
You've done well. Again, I tell people this all the time.
You didn't think this was going to work.
No, I knew you could get this done. This is not that heavy a lift if you could get the right people here. And we had the lighting guru here yesterday for like the fourth time in 2 weeks after the show. And I knew then that it was going to happen.
Yeah, you know it.
But see, this is why I tell people all the time. Working with you, you're this brilliant, creative mind. That's why you're good at doing this. You're great in the afternoons, and you get all this stuff, and the ideas pop. And that's how we get to these great topics. That's how we have the funny stuff happen from time to time. At least we hope it's funny.
It's funny when they show us the door. Of course, well, the problem is it's going to be my own house.
You're going to be fired from
Pack,
your basement?
We no longer need your services. Could you please leave your own home? Yeah, thank you very much.
I've enjoyed it.
Can I keep the lights?
Good. I'm looking forward to the next stuff.
Wait till you see what we got up our sleeve for us. Good. You are going to like it.
I'll go to Blacksburg, come back, and then we'll
see.
Oh, it's long term?
No, it's not super long term, but it's going to be great.
You got Robert and Otto in your pocket doing all this, don't you? You got Robert.
Well, I'd have had Otto in my pocket because the refrigerator's out there by the Christmas room, and my light beers are low.
Yeah.
I know he's happy.
All right. we got a good show for you. Travion Cooley is going to be here about 8:15.
Can it get any better than that? I hate to break the news. That might have been the highlight of the show right there, the display.
Travion Cooley had a big play the other night.
I understand
it's
that.
Coming in.
We just showed you Christmas lights.
Blue Ostrich, Tom Luganville will be here.
Like I said, we want to just give you the highlight for the first 10 minutes.
We've got fan accounting.
Ooh, can't wait to see those.
Yeah, there's some good fan accounting here. We got conference cuts.
Love conference cuts.
Yeah, we're excited about conference cuts today. And we'll get to some calls perhaps at 844-SAY-ACC.
Yeah, we might need to get the crowd stirred up. This is a big week because
turn it into a big week.
Swiss going up to Charlottesville is a big game. NC State with an opportunity against Clemson's a big deal. Florida State, do you find it? I mean, you know, you got Louisville coming to town. You got to keep an eye on that. Georgia Tech feeling good about their effort last week in Clemson. Now here come the big, bad, mighty Tar Heels slinging it all over the yard, feeling good. Like they got it back going again. So there's some very interesting conference games in the course of BC. And Missouri is, I think, a game of note to keep an eye on. Undefeated BC against Eli Drinkwitz.
I saw that you're getting some full credit here on social media for bringing up the storyline of Virginia at home and Virginia on the road. The disparity between the Cavaliers' winning percentage at home and on the road is like epic. Are we changing lights because there's NC State? And is that what we're doing now? Look at this. Louisville, NC State. Look at this. We got red lights.
It's red everywhere, baby. It's red and white. Light it up.
The red and white. Light it up. Yeah, light it up. Great. Here we go.
Light it up, NC State.
So Louisville and NC State play their first conference games of the season this Saturday. You know about Clemson's trip to Carter-Finley Stadium. And, of course, Louisville visits Doak Campbell. Both games 3:30, one on the Deuce and one on ESPN. So Travion Cooley will be here later in the show. Looking forward to talking to a young man who, by the way, is from the Raleigh area, grew up in Knightdale, and has come early enrollee to Louisville and started to make plays. There you go. That's what you're looking for.
You got it.
Yeah, you just don't. The light thing is this. Is, it's like having a kid at Christmas.
It's a disco hut, baby.
It's a disco. Nobody uses the word disco anymore.
We do.
No, we're bringing it back.
We are bringing it back.
Holy smokes. All right, so there's the show.
Want some orange? We got to work on the orange. I wasn't thrilled with the orange.
Great.
Orange looks
like
a little.
Is this the orange?
No, that's red.
That's red?
That's red. We're going to give you orange.
All right. Oh, God. You snap your fingers?
Yeah, that's all I got to do. The orange is a little.
It's kind of peachy.
It's a little.
Peachy.
Tennessee weak is what it looks like. Tennessee weak.
I tell you the one I like best is kind of the gold, the yellow.
You like the yellow?
That pops. That's nice.
I like the green yellow.
If I snap my fingers, does yellow work? Oh, no, I'm late. It already worked.
Yeah, there it is.
All I had to do was say it. Apparently, it's voice activated. Can we go to break and come back and do the show?
Wait till I bring out the monkeys. Oh, wait till you see that. Hot takes. I got little monkeys with hot takes.
All right. When we come back, we'll get going.
We're not going, man. What do you mean get going? Brother, you better get on board. 7 o'clock. It's not 7-ish.
I'm on.
7 o'clock. We're moving.
I know. I'm ready too.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The guys here in the basement. And we're going to talk about hot starts, cold starts, and can you finish? And that is really important.
Well, you can do a lot of things with numbers, and we're going to show you here coming up how the first quarter and the fourth quarter are stark contrasts for some teams. But it also shows you how valuable, like, here's the conversation. When you think about that Friday night in Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech kind of just flew out of the gate, right? I mean, enthusiasm, emotion, environment, all that, and boom, went right down the field 7-0, right? Then counter that to Virginia Tech going on the road in Morgantown last Saturday. What happened in Morgantown? Environment, emotion, the home team, right out of the gate, bam. Start thinking about a lot of the games you've seen this year where a team takes either the first, mostly, sometimes second possession and just mark. Look, Carolina, Virginia that night was both ways. I mean, Carolina goes downfield, Virginia goes downfield, bang, bang, you're playing, and all of a sudden, you know, the wheels are off and everybody's flying down the field. Start looking at first quarter scoring margins. Look at fourth quarter scoring margins. Now, some of it has to do with who you're playing. Some of it has to do with where you're playing, that kind of deal. Let's look at some of these numbers here, because the first quarter scoring margins for certain teams are crazy. Boston College, look, let's be honest. Temple, Colgate, UMass, they really haven't been tested yet. That's why I'm not surprised it's 35-0 in the first quarter. Clemson, a little bit of a different story, right?
Well, it's a little deceiving too, to be honest with you. I mean, Georgia, you do nothing in the first half, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Georgia's got great D.
Yep.
You play South Carolina State. That's a layup. No disrespect.
Yeah, that's where most of it comes from.
And Georgia Tech, they really didn't do much all day.
Right.
I mean, they did score in the first half. It was about 7-3 at halftime when they finally eventually got to a halftime.
But in their case, how good's the defense?
The defense, like I said, they're number one in the accounting. That defense is filthy good. But offensively, that number is a little deceiving based on who you play. You take South Carolina State out, what's that number?
Okay. What about Wake Forest, Syracuse, Carolina? What do you think about that?
Well, the Deacs offensively have been terrific, right? Uh-huh. So they've been consistently good, putting up the 35 or more now the first three games, first time ever in the AP poll era. So the Deacs are off to a roaring start. So that doesn't surprise me either. But let's be honest, who have they played?
Okay.
I mean, same deal. Right? We've got Old Dominion, Norfolk State, and we know about Florida State's ills.
Carolina's played Virginia Tech, Georgia State, and Virginia.
Right.
And has a plus 18.
And if you're North Carolina, you like that.
Absolutely.
That's something you look at. And given the fact that what week one was, where you really kind of got skunked right out of the gate.
Unbelievable.
That number is really even more impressive.
Well, then you take Georgia Tech. The 7 belongs to Northern Illinois.
Right. The Jackets, I told you. I was impressed with what they did last week. They're building on it. The schedule's nasty, and they'll get tested again this week. And, you know, they got to make sure they put the Clemson game behind them because North Carolina's going to come out firing it all over the place.
Key element here is look at Louisville, Pitt, Florida State, Miami. Those last two are a little surprising.
Well, the last one, I'm just going to make a note. Look who's dead last. Miami. Now, I know they've played Bama. Good luck.
Appalachian.
App State. And, of course, you Michigan saw Sparty State. Over the weekend. So they opened up with three teams of note, I would tell you. Because for everybody says, oh, App State. Hey, get a clue. App State can play.
Okay.
So Miami is disturbing there. I kind of expected Florida State because they've struggled so much. Mm-hmm. And they opened with Notre Dame, too, by the way. But just keep an eye on this number here. And this list, when we show you the fourth quarter scoring margin of where teams are located, and I will emphasize who's in last, Miami, all right, in terms of first quarter, getting off to a good start. Miami is dead last.
All right, so most schools, three in, you see four teams have yet to trail at the end of every first quarter this season, BC, Clemson, Syracuse, Wake. Now, of those schools, Clemson has played Georgia Tech, and they've played Georgia with South Carolina State in between. We've talked about the way Boston College's schedule has eased them into the season. And with Dracovic's injury, probably a good thing, right? Syracuse, up and down. You've played Ohio. You've played Rutgers. You've played Albany. Wake Forest, three games you should have won, and you did. Well, the Florida State game aside, you were favored, but you won convincingly.
Of the four teams at the top, only Clemson's played teams with pulses. Do you agree with that? Because two of them do.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's
BC
played
zero.
BC's played zero. I think Rutgers, whatever you take.
That's one.
Rutgers, one. But of two, yes, Clemson.
That's my point.
Now, how important is starting fast based on that sheet there to you?
Extremely. I mean, I think that given what we have so far in college football, the snapshot after 3 weeks, we've given you the stat before about how many ranked teams have lost a record 19. In this day and age, a lot of teams can play. A lot of teams are old. A lot of folks who are unranked can really cause problems for teams of note.
Right.
So that tells me that, hey, you better get off to a good start because there's more parity right now in college football. I go back to that Dave Clawson quote from about, 10 weeks ago.
Love it.
Spot on.
Yep.
And, you know, so if you're sitting there and you're wallowing around in the mud for a half and all of a sudden you find yourself down a touchdown or two, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, getting off to a good start is really critical in this day and age of the 21 football season.
All right. So if you take, like, for instance, Wake in Virginia on Friday night over on ESPN2 starting at 7 o'clock, Wake is plus 22 scoring in the first quarter. Virginia's plus 3 scoring advantage in the first quarter. Now, keep those in mind as we show you the fourth quarter.
I would say one thing about that before you, here comes the fourth quarter, but I'd also say one thing. Wake Forest has played 3 home games.
Right.
Right?
Here goes a road
game. Dukes are now on the road at a place where, guess what? Not a whole lot of folks survive Charlottesville. Heads
now,
up.
Look at this. First of all, BC is number one. And as Pack alluded to in the first quarter board, Miami is last.
That's the one that jumps at me.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I'm with you.
You haven't started well and you haven't finished well.
Correct.
And you're 1-2. And that's got to get better in addition to all the tackling issues that we talked about.
Yep.
But of all those numbers, of all 14 teams on there, the one that literally is the neon sign is Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw them last in the first quarter. I see them last in the fourth quarter. That is not good.
Yep.
Not good.
No, that's got to be, and you can, you know, sometimes you can dive into this what you want, but I'll just say this. I'm of the belief that this tells more stories sometimes than people want to realize, because first and fourth, the middle ground, teams are just kind of whatever. It's not as definitive as it is in the first quarter and the fourth quarter.
I'll tell you the other thing that jumps off the page here too is NC State and the number 3. They've given up 3 points in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, South Florida and Furman aren't going to scare you. However, by the fourth quarter, with games completely in control, it tells me that Dave Dorn's playing a lot of folks, and his backup guys are bringing the heat, and they're playing with intensity. Right. And it's not just I got a couple reps, and we gave up a touchdown, and we won 55-17. No. That tells me NC State's getting after people even in the fourth quarter with the backup. So the two that jump out at me are the NC State and the number 3 and Miami dead last. And I know Clemson fans are screaming, Pat, Clemson's giving up. Hey, you don't have to sell me on Clemson's defense. We know how great they are. And that maybe is a precursor of what we could get Saturday at Carter-Finley, where it's another one of those old school throwback, hey, can somebody get to 20 kind of games? Yeah. We'll see. Who knows? Never know.
A really good point. Curious part, Wake Forest, you're plus 22 and then you are minus 7. Now again, 3 opponents, Florida State, you're kind of sitting there thinking, all right, what were we going to get? You don't see that kind of diversion in some respects. And so keep an eye on the Deacons now, especially going to Virginia, where we told you Virginia plus 3 in the first quarter, plus 15 in the fourth quarter.
So. I think the number for Virginia is home sweet home is what I think. Now
Carolina, by the way, plus 18 first quarter, plus 13 fourth quarter. Carolina's in the top 5 of the front side, 3 in the fourth quarter.
I want to get back to Virginia though. Virginia at home is a problem for everybody that rolls into Charlottesville. Wake's on a roll, feeling good. But three straight home games, now it's a short week, and you got to take it to Charlottesville. We'll see what happens Friday night. But if I'm sitting here on a Wednesday morning, I would tell you, you know what? I like that trend if I'm Virginia. Coming off a loss, giving up 59. Bronco probably real thrilled today, this week, watching tape, saying, guys, we're better than this. We give up 59? You kidding me? You got Brennan Armstrong playing lights out. Sam Hartman's been great. Now, that game Friday night now.
I need to know who's playing for Virginia Saturday.
Friday?
I mean, Friday night, rather. Yeah. I kind of need to know what the injury situation is, really on both sides. But same kind of goes for the ball game in Atlanta with Carolina and Georgia Tech. Carolina's offensive line, they shifted guys around the other night against Virginia and still went for five Bills offensively.
Yeah, we're getting to the time now that after 3 weeks, you should have a pretty good handle, at least what you think your team's going to look like. Now, are there question marks still? No doubt.
Yep.
No question. But, you know, I think North Carolina's got that thing back on track. I think NC State's probably looking around going, hey, this is our time, our opportunity. Mm-hmm. Clemson's got issues we talked about on the offensive side. Wake's feeling good about life. I think Syracuse at 2-1 after what they went through last year.
Sure. With a bye week.
You know, if you're Syracuse, you're sitting there going, hey, man, last year is old news. This is a whole new deal for us. Yeah. Pittsburgh's got to be looking around going, what in the world? What did we just do? We just lost to Western Michigan?
Yeah, you know, you have a couple El Doceritos, don't you?
Oh, my goodness.
There are a couple El Doceritos out there, folks. You got to be able to recover. Now, good news, see, here's the thing I would say to Miami fans. And
the Sunshine State has got a hangover.
I'd say this to Miami fans and Pitt fans, okay? You're not out. You only lost non-conference games. You're not out of still playing for the division here. You can still get to the Coastal. Now, is your national pride bruised a little bit? Sure. But you can still make waves with this football season.
Oh, there's no doubt.
We got a tendency, though, Pac. I mean, after week one, we heard the world was falling in the ACC.
Yeah, who was the hair dude that was talking about college football is in a horrific, devastating mode? I mean, the TV numbers are great. Games are awesome. I mean, people make outlandish statements, and they're never held accountable for them. And then you go back and you listen to them, you go, well, why aren't we ripping this guy? Because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
I mean, it was a state of disaster. I think college football is in a state of disaster, I think was the term I heard.
It was.
And I'm thinking, what idiot would say, oh, that idiot said it. Yeah, I got it. Noted.
All right, let's before we get to break, Tremaine in North Carolina. I would say, you know, longtime listener, first-time caller, but Tremaine's a regular. Tremaine, good morning.
Man, you're very quiet this morning. Were you just totally taken back by the lights and just
that's it? Can't overwhelmed, speak? Overwhelmed by the lights. All right,
I was. Oh, we completely have one heart. Yeah,
go ahead, yeah. Tremaine. Sorry,
I think someone. It's okay. I think someone forgot to hit the button. I love you guys too. I personally love the lights. Talking about UVA Wake Forest game. Be honest, I would love to see us bring more blitz packages. That was one thing I noticed at the UNC game is that we didn't do a whole lot of blitzing, which was shocking because it proven successful in four straight wins against them. So it seemed like we stayed in a lot of base packaging, and as a result, Sam Howell absolutely ripped us apart. So I'd love to see us bring the heat. You know, watching the press conference just update you, Wes, it seems that everyone, we should have all starters back on defense this Friday. So that will be really, really good. So, I would love to see our defense back. And then just a real quick side note question to you guys is I wasn't aware of how progressed we were with new facilities coming. It's looking like by 2023 we'll have all our new facilities that they had put in place. And I was just curious as to how you guys think that helps recruiting for football, even with the success that we're having now with the type of players. So do you think they can bring us more blue-collar type talent?
You got to have the bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because if you're going to go after 4- and 5-star recruits, which you're going to need, to compete at the highest level. Mm-hmm. When they go travel to other schools, guess what they see? They see those facilities. So if you don't have them, and if you don't think recruits talk to recruits, you're crazy.
Now, oh, yeah.
I'm not telling you that you got to have five stars to win. Sure does help. You still got to develop guys once they get on campus. But that's a pretty tight fraternity of guys that sit there and you throw the blanket out there and say, hey, here's who we're going to go after. Everybody talks with one another. Hey, did you go to school X? Yeah, I did, man. They got cool facilities. They got this. They got that. If you don't have them, believe me, word goes around, that school, I'm not sure if they're really committed to what's going on. So,
yeah
you got to have them. I think that's one of the reasons Carla Williams and Bronco and the rest of the crew in Charlottesville talked about, hey, here's what we're thinking about doing. I think it's a total commitment to football, which is great. They need it. It's a matter of keeping up with the Joneses. And if you're
that's
not
exactly
doing it,
what it is.
You're getting lapped.
Yeah. Well, 30 years ago, it used to be the, you know, could
dorms
you
and
soft serve ice cream machines and dining halls and all that. Now it's gone haywire.
Yep.
It's about locker rooms and swag and all the other stuff that you would think 17, 18-year-old kids.
Kids like that, man. They like that stuff. They like lights.
And they also want to know about NIL.
No doubt.
You have opportunities. There's a lot of NIL questions. A lot.
Yeah.
As you move around on campuses this year, you hear that more often than not.
And one more thing, going back to the original point about blitzing. You know, you got to be careful blitzing old Sam Howell, because not only does he have a quick release, but you know what? He can now beat you with his legs.
Wow.
And once you miss him, he is gone and to the races.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
One, I like playing at home, and I'm excited for the students again. I'm excited for the fans again. It should be a great atmosphere. So to all the students, come early. Tailgate early. If you don't want to wake up early, then don't go to bed. Just come out right from the night before and be out there and be loud, because we need you, and we felt you last time, and we need you again. And we need you to be loud. We need you to have fun and exciting, because this is what Saturdays in the fall are all about. So for that, I'm grateful that we're home. Besides that, I don't get into the other stuff.
It's exactly right.
Who needs sleep? Not me. Let's go to a little BC football. That Halfley's speaking my language. Go stay out? Man, you stay out. You don't need no stinking sleep. 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Party like rock stars. Get ready for BC football, baby. You don't need no sleep. Come on. And you're going to look back at your college world and go, man, that was the best time. Yeah, you know why? Because we were awake the entire time. I love Halfley's great, man. I am a pro Halfley guy.
I
love his quotes. I like his attitude.
God.
And, you know, talking to the students, hey, we're getting ready to play somebody from big, bad SEC country. They're coming to our house. Hey, go out Friday night. It's Boston. It's one of the great cities in the world. Enjoy it, and then get ready for Saturday in the fall.
That's it. Get down there on Comm Avenue.
Yes,
and get after
sir.
It, right?
Like absolutely it. Right. He's all 100% right.
Jeff Halfley leads off conference cuts again. If that cutting didn't get you fired up and ready to ride. how do you do against Power 5 conferences? The coach was asked that yesterday.
No. Okay. I don't think about what conference we're playing against. Shoot, I don't even know. I mean, we played a different conference each week coming into this game, right? No. Missouri's a good team. They're really well coached. They're very talented. It doesn't matter what conference they play to us. People will make it a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, they will.
The conference makes it a big deal.
Right. It's just not how I handle things, Rich.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to that, or obviously the SEC, but we're not going to talk about that.
All right. Wait, no, get your hand down. No, nobody needs to see your hand. We just watched some guy's hand.
I thought it was great.
Some person's hand sticking in the frame. Come on, people, we're at a presser.
Hey, Jeff, could you repeat the question? I didn't get it on video. Could you repeat that, what you were saying about the conference thing again? I didn't get it. You can do it now. Hey, by the way, you got some lights up there in BC and with some flashing lights?
No, they don't need the colored lights. They're fine. All right. So Jeff Halfley doesn't worry about the league.
He's right.
I don't disagree.
Hey, we play a game Saturday, man.
It's at next Saturday, and it's Mizzou, and it's at noon on ESPN2.
That's right. Students, stay up all night.
That's it.
Let's kick this bad boy off, get your tailgating in, and let's go.
So what's the feeling out in Como? What
Uh-oh.
Say you, Eli Drinkwitz?
Uh-oh.
This by no means is any knock on Boston College. I think it's a great game. It'll be a tremendous test. I think they're a really good football team. They're 3-0. They were, you know, maybe 6-5 last year in a COVID year, and I think Coach Hafley's done a tremendous job there and poised to have a big year. I mean, you look at the ACC, it's wide open, and, you know, us traveling to Boston is going to be a very difficult test. If I had my pick of it, I would love to play a regional matchup that was maybe more of a rivalry game. That would be maybe a little bit more exciting to recruits to watch, you know, from a TV perspective, or, you know, maybe we're playing in front of your family. I don't know the last time Missouri signed a kid from the great state of Massachusetts.
All right. First of all, it's the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Wow.
Second part is I cannot thank KMIZ, broadcasting now in high definition, the ABC affiliate out there in Como, for providing the videotape. The last Missouri player from Massachusetts is Noah Robinson, who played there all of 3 years ago. So there you go. Let me say this. Eli Drinkwitz, that was a plea to Kansas. That's the game he's talking about that they can't get scheduled. Kansas and Missouri, it's a thing. It's been a thing, especially in basketball, with Norm Stewart.
It's great. It's great.
All those guys years ago. I just say this. That's the game he wants played. He's playing this one because there's a contract for it. Bottom line. Now,
you know he's playing next year? New Mexico State. Hey, Eli, how many guys you signed from New Mexico?
Right. He's playing New Mexico State.
How about Abilene Christian?
Who's
playing them next year?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I know there's some good players down there. I mean, come on, man. You got to go play. You got nothing to do with the schedule. You line them up, you play. I know you'd like to play Kansas, but you know what? Duke's getting ready to play Kansas.
Right. So leave that over there. Y'all figure that out. By the way, Columbia, Missouri to Boston is not a hard trip. You get on a plane, you fly, you get off the plane, you ride through town. Now, you want to make the mistake? Land in Boston about 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. You'll get there by kickoff.
The tunnel by Logan caused a little problem?
Yeah, Ted Williams. Yeah, every once in a while. But I would tell you, here's the game. By the way,
it's a good game.
If Phil Djurkovic is not hurt, this is a whale of a game for balls in the air.
It still could be.
Yeah.
We'll find out one way or the other. But, hey, the schedule's the schedule, man. This thing's been locked and loaded for years, long before folks said, hey, let's go hire Eli. And we remember Eli, he was on our radio show.
And he was at NC State with Dave Dorn.
Right.
They went to Appalachian for a cup of coffee, and now he's in Como.
Right. And so, we like him.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
But that statement.
Come on now.
You got to move on with that.
All right. Let's go to Central New York. Dino Babers has the Flames of Liberty coming in on Friday night. Ball game here on ACC Network at 8 o'clock. And apparently, the old coach has been watching Packer and Durham. You know why? Because he was asked who's going to start at quarterback.
I'm not going to be announcing anything right here because it'll be a tactical advantage for our opponent. But in the order of they will know first, the team will know second, and the media will know third. Hopefully it's that order.
Go ahead.
I'm taking total credit.
Are you?
I am.
Great.
You know why? Let me tell you why. Because if you remember the first week, we had Dino on the show.
Right.
The next week, he announced his quarterback prior to the opening kick, like on a Tuesday. And I'm like, man, that's not what we talked about. Now, fast forward the clock. Dino's 2-1. Dangerous Liberty. And they're good.
Malik Willis is really
good.
He's
a baller.
He's really good.
Hugh Freeze done a nice job. And so here we are. Time to announce the quarterback. Mm-mm. Heisman pose. My team knows. That team over there will find out on Saturday. And you folks in the media, now you know. When we break the huddle, you'll know who. Dino Babers, that is directly from the Mark Packers Never Coached a Day in His Life playbook right there. Absolutely spot on, Dino.
Are you just happy to help Dino wherever you can?
I'm helping America, every coach. Now, if we get rid of that targeting rule and get rid of all these cheap shots that don't get called, And that, you know, we need to get targeting figured out.
Can we get that on the shirt? Mark Packer, I'm here helping America.
I am here helping America. That's what I do.
All right.
What are you talking about?
We're going to get to your call. Well,
Dino
no,
Babers
good.
Took it, and Mike Norvell.
We're good.
Right? Same thing. You're good. Not going to find out squat.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's my second day of my 3-day weekend here at the University of Miami, home of the Hurricanes. Coral Gables borders the neighborhood of Little Havana. About a third of all Cuban Americans live in Miami. Little Havana is their heartbeat. I've been to Miami several times, but I've never been to this part of town.
This is a hidden gem. It's a historic neighborhood. So we invite you to come and discover the vibrancy, the history, the heritage, the people, and the food.
I cannot wait to taste the food.
You're going to love it. This is a very special place to locals and tourists. It's the oldest open fruit marketplace in Miami. What you're seeing here is the specialty of Los Pinareños, the fruit marketplace. This is freshly pressed sugarcane juice. These are sugarcane locally grown here, and we call this guarapo. Once he finishes pressing it, he's just gonna pour it into cups of ice. Nothing's added, so even though it tastes super sweet, it actually is low calorie and very healthy.
Oh, that's delicious.
Refreshing.
It's not too sweet, despite being sugarcane.
Exactly, and here's a little tip. On our tours, we squeeze a little bit of lime. Reduces the sweetness, makes it a limeade. It's a great way to start a Miami morning.
Hey, Jess Roy is back for another season of 3-day weekend. She'll travel to ACC college towns, letting you know where to go, where to eat, what to do, and some special hidden spots too, like the sugar cane, and you get the lime juice with it. Tomorrow night, Coral Gables, 7 Eastern, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Sugar cane over ice with a little lime juice. By the way, I think she also samples Cuban cigars while she's down there too.
You know, I used to live in Miami.
I know, yeah. You were there with the Blockbuster Bowl.
I was there at the Blockbuster Bowl 300 years ago. And so I have
you been, and Eric Palms worked a calendar year there. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Until they got rid of me. And I've got the Blockbuster Bowl ball.
Where?
Which I stole here? On my way out.
Is this it?
No, it's got the,
it's got the new ACC thing. Logo. That can't be.
It's over there somewhere. I'll find it. But nevertheless, I was going to say, I've spent a lot of time in Little Havana.
Nice spot of town now. The food, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, no disrespect to Jess Roy. Now, I've not seen it because it's coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern.
But that sugar cane thing she was talking about?
Yeah.
That is all true, and you get the lime and you squeeze it. But mm-hmm. there was also one other thing that I put in mind that makes it really good.
Oh, it's tonight. It's tonight.
Did you not just see
the
promo?
Well, the script says tomorrow night, so it's reading. Tonight. Okay, tonight. Go ahead.
But, you know, the lime is really important to cut the sweetness, like she said. But there's... There was one other ingredient I used to add to mine that really set you going.
Okay, but that's for the later. That's the prime time with the Pac-Man show,
I'm
not the morning
show. I'm just telling you, I would love to do that show.
Okay.
Because I could take it to some places now.
Yeah. Yesterday, we showed you a clip of Jess working with somebody on a surfboard. That part ain't happening.
No, I told you. I'd be at News Cafe
there
on South
Beach.
Looking
on the glasses.
Dark glasses, front row seat, watching the world go by.
That's it. Tim in South Carolina with Packer and Durham. Tim, good morning.
Oh, good morning. What a great show you have.
Yes. Thank you.
Very kind of you. Thanks.
Yeah, speaking of Clemson, you know, they really haven't tried to air the ball out. You know, they're doing small, you know, plays, 10, 15 yards, and I think that's purposely. I think when they play in Raleigh this coming Saturday, I think you will see that ball go downfield. It will be DJ throwing that ball. And I think they will score a lot of points.
All right, let me ask you this. If you were going to throw the ball down the field, you would have done it on opening night against Georgia. I mean, you couldn't because Georgia was getting to you.
Yeah, because you're on your back.
Right. So I think they can throw it vertically. Certainly in their pass game, there's no reason to think it's not. I'll say this about NC State. They're not Georgia, but they live in that neighborhood in terms of defensive pressure. They got guys up front. They're good. They're not as good as Georgia. But NC State's a talented, talented defensive front. I'll go back to what we talked about yesterday, and I know you and Eric talked about long time on Monday. Clemson's got to get the front taken care of. That's got to get cleaned up.
Right. 100% right. And the other thing, too, and I've heard from enough Clemson buddies this week, we're talking about, well, Georgia Tech did this, and so it prevented us. I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. You're the top 10 team.
Right.
Clemson dictates tempo, and, hey, here's how the game's going to be played. Right. They've been doing this now for the last 6 years and change, right? And then some. And so that, to me, is going to be the fascinating part Saturday afternoon at Carter-Finley. You got NC State playing with supreme confidence, thinking, hey, this is our time. You know, we win this game. The Atlantic goes through Raleigh, not Clemson, right? That's why it's such a huge game. So there's going to be a total kind of an egomaniac thing here. But I think both guys are going to say, hey, we're playing our game tonight. So I think early, and again, that's why we gave you that stats, first quarter
and second quarter.
I think it's incredibly important for both of these teams to kind of establish how is this game going to be played. And for Clemson, again, we've talked about their offensive woes, but their defense has been great. NC State's defense has been consistently good all season long.
Yep.
And they've got dudes and experience, even though they lost a couple guys the week before. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I just think the defenses are that good. And now I say that, and we're going to come back here on Monday. It's going to be 38-35 thriller. That's always the case. But I think it has the chance to be kind of an old-school rock'em, sock'em football game where those defenses kind of dictate to the offense, hey, here's how we're going to play tonight.
Over-under is 44.
44. So they're the
smart. 47, sorry.
So the smart people are thinking, hey, if you can get to 20, you win, right?
Yes, sir.
24-21 kind of game?
We'll here's the other thing about NC State and the 3-3-5 that Tony Gibson employs. Daniel Joseph, grad transfer, Florida State. Corey Durden, grad transfer, Florida State. Daniel Joseph was Penn State. Corey Durden, Florida State. C.J. Clark, redshirt freshman, starting in the middle. Savion Jackson, sophomore, played a lot last year. Drake Thomas, Isaiah Moore are the two linebackers that stay on the field most of the time. When they get into 4-2-5 stuff and add a defensive end, Moore and Thomas are the two guys that will stay on the field. Now, no Peyton Wilson, that makes a difference. There's no getting around that from NC State's perspective.
And Tyler Davis being out for Clemson's a big loss.
That is too, yep.
So both teams got to deal with some injuries, and Clemson's had some issues on their offensive line from a depth standpoint with injuries. Hey, go play, boys and girls. This is what we love about college football. And whoever wins this game, in my opinion, has got the inside track for the Atlantic.
A couple of years ago, we thought we were kind of on this stage for a close game. Remember, and it was a smoke show.
It was.
It was a smoke show.
Yep.
This feels like 2 years ago, the last time Clemson went to Raleigh.
I don't know about that.
Well, Clemson was a dominant team, but you thought NC State was kind of the up-and-coming team.
2 years ago?
Well, 2 years ago, it didn't work out well. There was a time when they went.
2 years ago, State had nobody left on the field.
By the time they played Clemson?
Wasn't it 55-10 game or something like that. But they're
this feels different. This game feels different.
Well, I think the fact it's in Raleigh and it's the first time you've seen a chink in Clemson's armor. Not that they couldn't get that thing fixed on Saturday and look like, hey, there's Clemson.
Right.
And that could happen too now.
They could come out with a brand new five or something.
Well, let me just tell you something. Clemson players have heard the noise all week. In fact, Dabo even said yesterday, hey, our offense does not stink. You get a prideful group that's used to winning a lot of games, and all of a sudden everybody's turning on them. But, man, you guys aren't any good. You're not this. Hey, sometimes, guess what? You poke that bear, they might show up Saturday and go, guess what?
Yeah.
There's a reason why we've been in the top five for 100 years in a row.
There you go.
Who knows? Got to see it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.